Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there this morning, so swing on by and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and click that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man. That's three E's.
All right, Dan, just a quick update from the story yesterday. I mentioned that Fernando Tatis Jr. was escorted from the game by the trainer. The original diagnosis said he had a hip problem, but apparently it was his shoulder. They did not say what he did to it, and there has not been an update yet, but it was not the hip, it was his throwing shoulder. So we'll have to see how that kind of goes for him. And we got some more injury news for you here, Dan. We'll start locally. Eloy Jimenez had to be removed from today's game. The White Sox are playing the A's actually right now. He had what they described as left shoulder discomfort. So he was taken out of the game. And then not too far from home here, Dan, St. Louis, Harrison Bader, who was finally going to be the Cardinals' starting center fielder. You know, they moved Dexter Fowler to the Angels to open up a spot. He is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a forearm injury. Now, this is kind of interesting, Dan. He apparently gets platelet-rich plasma injections into this arm. And the Cardinals had planned all along for him to play in the middle of Tyler O'Neill and Dylan Carlson. Now it's kind of a three-man race between Justin Williams, Lane Thomas, and Austin Dean to see who gets to fill in that center field role for the Cardinals. Obviously they're going young. They don't have Bader was, I think, the most veteran outfielder they had on the team. So we'll see how it goes. But what do you think of these two injuries? Just two more guys to add to your list?
Oh, well, and this is what sucks about having an early draft, right? Because, of course, I picked Tatis for the home run, but, you know, I honestly didn't know. We already have two drafts coming on this weekend. I didn't want to add another one for Sunday, and I didn't know it was going to take a half hour or 45 minutes. But, I mean, it just sucks, you know. Because, you know, let's be honest. We could have had the draft this weekend, and Tatis could have been fine till Sunday night or, you know, Monday morning. So it happens. I mean, it sucks. I mean, these are guys you want to see perform. So in the long run, you'd rather have it happen now. But at the same token, can they bounce back? You know, shoulder injuries for any player, you know, aren't the greatest, especially if it's your throwing arm.
Yeah, you know, and just like you, I actually have Eloy Jimenez in our home run league now. He was one of the guys I picked. Luckily, from what it seems, his injury doesn't appear to be too serious. And unlike Tatis, he can always DH. So, there is the opportunity to at least keep his bat in the lineup. You know, you got to kind of wait and see, obviously, on what these guys are going to do. But, you know, this close to the start of the season, you don't want to see any of these injuries. And, you know, it's just too bad. And especially for a guy like Bader, who was really getting his first shot at being a full-time guy. You know, and he was one of the guys I actually had on my radar for the later round. So, with a 4 to 6 week window like he's got, I mean, maybe I'll still pick him, but it won't be towards the very end of the draft. You know, there's no way I'm going to pick a guy that, you know, is going to be out that long, and then you've got to wonder how long it takes him to get ready when he gets back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's tough. But, yeah, I'm like you now. I'm trying to, you know, generally I just kind of have a mental list. And luckily, you know, Yahoo normally does a good job of putting up that little warning sign by a guy when he's hurt. But, yeah, I'm trying to make a list of who's hurt and who's not. And, you know, one more or less just who's hurt so I know and how long they're going to be out. Because, yeah, the last thing you need is a guy, you know, obviously I don't want Kirby Yates on my team because he's not pitching this year. And I did read today, Dan, the Blue Jays actually expect George Springer to be ready by opening day. I don't know about you, but don't you think that's a pretty quick recovery from an oblique strain? I mean, we're talking a week, basically. Doesn't it take a little longer to get over that?
I mean, I guess it depends on the level of strain.
Well, they said it was a grade 2.
Grade 2.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe it's enough.
Yeah, you know, well, hopefully for Springer it is. And, you know, again, in another situation, if he can swing the bat, he can always DH.
Yeah.
You know, that's the advantage of being in the American League with that rule. So we'll see. But then, yeah, in another, you know, Dan, I thought this was pretty interesting. Major League Baseball issued a memo to all 30 clubs. And this year, baseball wants to crack down pitchers doctoring the baseball through the use of foreign substances. And
haven't
now
they
what
been
they're
in
apparently
that,
going to do
that business for the last 40 years.
Well, now, yeah, here you'll get a kick out of this, Dan. They're apparently going to have a compliance officer to monitor dugouts, clubhouses, tunnels, bullpens, and batting cages. And these officers will also pull random samples of baseballs during the game to be analyzed in third-party labs. So, and the balls that are suspected of doctored, yeah, they're going to be measured against the pitcher's spin rate data from StatCast.
So they're just trying to partner up and use StatCast. Oh, that makes sense. Well, these guys will all be wearing StatCast polos, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably. That would be my guess. I do wonder if they're hiring, because I would very much like to do this job. I would like to sit in the dugout and watch baseball games and then just randomly grab baseballs out of nowhere. So I don't know how you
apply
for this job. I would like to know. You know, that would be a big plus for me. And, you know, Dan, what I got to say about this is, you know, they've already made the game so much more a plus for the batter. And I heard somebody say today that they were trying to level the playing field. This is the only thing a pitcher can really do, isn't it, is doctor the baseball?
Yeah,
you know, it's not like they can do anything else, right?
Well, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying, leveling the playing field. No, there's literally nothing else you could do. The MLB could send out this memo, but as far as I'm understanding, it's MLB and the umpires. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the home team, but they're the ones who are responsible for distributing the balls. You know what I mean? So it's,
right.
It's not, you know, let's just, it's not Lou Piniella, you know, taking a shot and then throwing out a baseball to Chris Sale. Oh, no, I'm using all the wrong guys. Just forgive me. Why can't I think of Tony La Russa? I don't know why he says Lou Piniella. You know, it's not like La Russa is going to be throwing out the ball to Dylan Cease from the dugout, like, hey, go out there and pitch, kid. You know, or when a home run's hit, a foul ball's hit, it's not, you know, La Russa or Harold Baines sitting back there throwing the ball to the pitcher on the mound. Don't ask me why I went with the Sox. Never mind. You know what I mean? It's the umpire. The umpire looks at the ball and throws it at the pitcher unless he gives it to the catcher. So I don't understand what they're going to do, because the only, from my understanding, the only really way for a pitcher to doctor the ball is on the mound, you know, because they it's not the dead ball era. I mean, how many damn ball changes do you see in a game? I went to a doubleheader for the White Sox a couple of years back, and I mean, you know, I got to take my shot, but, you know, it's a day game for the White Sox. That doesn't happen. And then it was, you know, from the night before, so it was a next day doubleheader. So when I got to the ballpark that day, there was probably a couple hundred people, maybe 1,000 people there. There wasn't really anyone there. And I was sitting next to the first base dugout, the visitor's dugout, behind the guy who collects the balls and writes something down and authenticates them or whatever he does with them. And, I mean, there's a new ball after every inning. You know, even if the pitcher, you know, even if the pitcher strikes out the batter, the catcher rolls the ball out to the mound, the next pitcher comes out to the mound, picks it up, and maybe he does a couple warm-ups, but generally he just throws it back to the catcher and they get a new ball. So, to me, number one, this is not something we need to see, you know, as the fans go. It shouldn't impede on the experience of the game. It shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't know anything about this, but it just seems redundant. You're going to have these guys walking around. I'm sorry, but if you're going to have this committee, that should be part of the umpire's crew. That should be part of their committee. I don't know. You know what I mean? It just doesn't – it just seems over the top in trying to prevent something that really doesn't happen all that much.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing going through this, Dan, is this says – the league's attempt to crack down on the use of foreign substances aligns with other efforts to increase the amount of action in the game and move away from an increasingly three true outcome-oriented style of play. Now, the three true outcome is considered home runs, walks, and strikeouts. They believe reducing the risk of foreign substances could cut back on strikeouts and perhaps walks, at least in theory. Now, two of these three things, home runs and strikeouts, are a product of analytics and sabermetrics, because that's what the game has turned into now. It has nothing to do with pitchers using foreign substances, right? And generally, if a pitcher uses a foreign substance, he's not walking, guys, because it's helping him grip the baseball.
Yeah,
so I don't buy this statement at all. How about you?
No, I don't buy this at all. I mean, it's, for lack of a better term, it's complete horse shit. So, I mean, you're essentially telling me that I'm not pointing out a pitcher and saying that he's doctoring balls, but essentially what you're telling me is that because you know, let's just go back to Jake Arrieta's Cy Young Award performance. So you're telling me the only reason he was getting all the strikeouts and performing at the level he was potentially because he was doctoring every single freaking ball that he was given? I mean, if a guy throws a no-hitter, which Jake Arrieta did twice in that year span, he's seen 27 batters. Obviously, there's no chance in hell he's going to throw three pitches to every batter. But, you know, even going with 27 batters, oh, come on, 27 batters at three pitches apiece is 81. there's a possibility that Jake Arrieta touched 100 balls, baseballs, or more between his two no-hitters with the Cubs. So you're going to tell me that this guy, and not just Jake and but all pitchers, that you're going to tell me that they have the time to doctor up 100 balls a game? You can't put enough Vaseline on your arm to do that for someone to see. You know what I mean? So, you know, they've already, watching the mouth, touching the mouth, and you know that thing where they lick their fingers or whatever they do. That is so scrutinized now, and that's watched by the umpires. And I think that's another thing, and if I were the umpires, I'd be kind of upset by this too, is if you're going to bring in this new committee and it's not affiliated with the umpires union and what they do, you're kind of telling me, you're kind of saying that the umpires can't figure this out. Because, again, like I said, Jake has the opportunity in a no-hitter to touch 100 balls. Guess who else touched those 100 baseballs? The umpire behind home plate. So, you know what I mean? And the catcher. But it just seems so over the top, and it just seems completely unnecessary with the fact that, like I said, the umpire touches every freaking ball that the pitcher throws. If the umpire sees something he doesn't like, he throws that ball away. I mean, that one Sox game I discussed, I received two baseballs. Okay? These things are brand freaking new. They don't even, I think one has a partial scuff mark on it from a, you know, bouncing off the backstop or something. So if they're using brand new baseballs the entire time and the umpire touches every one of them, he's going to find this crap on the baseball very quickly. You can't really hide anything in today's game unless you're using technology and having guys in the outfield banging garbage cans and whatnot. You know what I mean? So this just seems way over the top. And if I'm the owner, you know, who's paying for this? Because we shouldn't be paying for this.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, you know, baseball is, you know, God, baseball could pay for it just out of their fine kitty with what players get fined. You know, that paying for it isn't going to be, you know, going to be an issue. I just want one of the jobs. So... But, yeah, I don't honestly believe that it's going to change strikeouts or home runs at all. So, but, you know, moving on, obviously sticking with baseball, I have an interesting question for you because, you know, you and I, you know, we've talked a lot about the Dodgers. You know, we're both fans of the way they run their organization, and there's been a lot of predictions about what their starting rotation is going to be. Now, it's clear that three spots were locked in. We knew that Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, and Trevor Bauer would be 1, 2, 3 in some order. And now we know that Kershaw is going to get the opening day start. We don't know how it's going to go the rest of the way. The interesting thing that I not only saw today in an article, but I also heard on, I don't remember if it was the MLB Network or the Mickey Mouse Network, is apparently there are a lot of people who think that David Price will be pitching out of the Dodgers' bullpen. Now, I do believe Julio Urias belongs in the rotation. You know, it's if you're not going to let him close, you need to put him in the rotation. It just bottom line. But that would mean that, you know, the remaining spot comes down to Tony Gosselin, Dustin May, and, you know, David Price, obviously. Do you buy the fact that David Price is going to be in the Dodgers bullpen? Because I don't think I do.
I don't buy it unless, you know, we were talking about the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right. You know, and I mean, to be fair, you know, Price did have a lot of success coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs. So he has done it before. But I just don't think that's how the Dodgers are going to go about it. You know, I mean, do you really see Tony Gonsolin being the guy to beat out David Price for a start in the rotation?
No, not at all.
So, yeah, I was just kind of baffled by that when I saw the article, and I was like, really? That just doesn't seem like it would make a lot of sense for the Dodgers to do that. I mean, I can understand they would want to go with their young guy and, you know, get him in the rotation. And I do believe, I'm going to have to double check this, but I believe Price may be in the last year of his contract. Again, I'll have to double check that while Dan and I are kind of rambling on here, but I don't buy it. I mean, can you think of another possible option that they could use?
I mean, the only thing I was thinking about. Well, and I was thinking about the fact that it's more of an analytical front office, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, with that said, he might. There's a possibility he could come out of the pen. And you know,
I
looked at as more of a long relief pitcher.
Yeah, he has this year and next year left on the capital. So. I was incorrect about that. Yeah, and a lot of it depends on who you look at, what site you read. You know, I mean, Price is going to be this. So.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, maybe that's part of the factor that coming in is he's done well coming out of the bullpen in playoff situation, and he's getting to that ripe age. You know, and one of the things you always talk about and mention is the fact that, you know, some of these left-handed pitchers seem to stick around for a long time. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, he's no Oliver Perez, right? So he's not going to stay in the starting pitching for 25 years or however long this guy's been in. But, you know, maybe it's that time where he gets that, makes that transition and goes back to the pen and, you know, wraps up his career and kind of gets himself some, you know, more money down there.
And, you know, the other kind of odd thing I heard today, and I wish I could remember which team it was that I heard was considering doing this, and it actually wasn't the Tampa Bay Rays. There's one team out there, and again, I don't remember what it was, but they're considering doing with their fifth starter role what the Colorado Rockies tried to do in the minors a few years ago, where you have one guy start the game and he goes four or five innings depending on how he's pitching, and then basically the reliever, who is technically another starter, would come in and finish the game. So you would only need two pitchers to pull this off. And man, I hate this. You know, when they start doing crap like this, the game worked for so many years, and now some analytic genius had to come in and rework it and, you know, just make you think that it's better this way when it's not. So I don't know. Do you like that? Do you like a team trying that? And I'm going to guess this team isn't a playoff contender, and they're not going to be in the running, so they're just throwing stuff up against the wall and hoping it sticks.
I mean, I don't know. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, again, to me, it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, we just, one of those things where I'm like, really, you know, is your team that bad that you can't find a fifth starter? So, yeah, and then another quick update from yesterday on the injury, Zach Gallen, the Diamondbacks pitcher who was supposed to be their opening day starter, He was diagnosed with a hairline fracture of his right forearm. They don't have a timetable for his return. And interestingly, Dan, and here you go, because I know you're going to love this. Gallen was injured practicing. He was taking batting practice. So how do you think the pundits are reacting to this?
Who got hurt?
Zach Gallen. He was going to be the Diamondback number one starter this year.
I mean, however you want to put it, neither one of us totally fall into that category, but we both agree that it's time to be done with this. You know, quit the charade, and this is just another piece of evidence as to why they you know, and this is one of those things like where I just don't understand why Rob doesn't get his head out of his ass and just made the universal DH. The simplest thing. Just get it done and over with. You don't do it in the minors. So,
remember, to be fair at the major league level, he has to be able to work with a union. You know, and I know the owner suggested it, and they just couldn't come to an agreement. So, I know there were other issues involved, and, you know, the owners were trying to attach some other clauses along with that. But, you know, even still, you have to be able to work with the union, and that's, you know, you know that's not always the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, I know. And I thought that was one of those things Rob had complete control over. But I guess the control was limited to just adding a so that we can track how long between innings go.
Yeah, he, you know, that was last year when they had the shortened season that they agreed to basically give him a little more control. Now that things are, you know, back to somewhat normal and they're going to try to play a 162-game season, it's a free-for-all again. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, both sides. I hope this is done and over with in the next CBA because this is just another reason why, you know, and again, whether it's your number one starter or $30 million, $35 million a year, Zach Greinke, I really don't want him at the plate anymore.
You know, I guess the odd thing to me is now he wasn't hit in batting practice. Well, I would be really interested to know how the hell he managed to hurt himself. Because nobody's explained it. So, you know, I mean, it's just baffling to me that you can crack, you know, I mean, was he check swinging or was swinging too hard or, you know, did he do something he shouldn't have done? Just the object of getting hurt taking batting practice is just nuts to me.
Well, it's no different than, you know, breaking your ankle shagging baseballs, right?
Yeah, but, you know, at least, you know, when Mariano Rivera did it, he got caught on the warning track. You know, his spike got caught on the warning track. You know, this is just one of those kind of fluky injuries that just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I'm in the same market with you are. I mean, it's time for pitchers to stop hitting. I mean, they're an embarrassment. They don't work on their craft. They don't come up through the minors hitting.
No.
So it's time for it to stop. But, you know, just the way they're going to play this out, like it's somebody's fault, is just going to be ridiculous, and you know that.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's, I forgot about that part. So it's, you know, the coach's fault, the front, it's everyone else's fault. But, you know, and that's
right.
One of those things. If you think about it, you want to put blame on anybody, the blame goes to the owners and the union, because, you know, for you and I think we came to the realization that the league should be, even though we didn't like it, we both agreed, when Alfonso Soriano was still playing with the Cubs. And, yeah, I just remember because I think one or both of us wrote, like, a mini blog about it or something. But, you know, that was a while ago. And it just seems like that topic has just gotten, I don't want to say bigger. It's always been around. You know, there's always been people who thought the league should, well, I didn't want to get into the whole two different rules for two different, you know, divisions. That's what makes baseball unique. But, you know, I've heard that argument so many times, and I just want to, you know, I don't know. Just it annoys me. That's what makes baseball unique. I don't want to watch 30 Wrigley Fields and 30 Fenway Parks. You know what I'm saying? So, but this topic has gained steam, but it makes sense. It makes sense analytically. It makes sense monetarily. It makes sense when you go down to how, like you mentioned, how the players are developed. All around, everything, every sign leads to universal DH, but yet there's some dumbass detour that they can't get around, which makes, that's what makes no sense to me. No, you know, instead of working on that, we're just going to speed up a time clock for in between pitchers, you know, and then we're going to put a clock in center field so that everyone can see when they leave their seats that they have 2 minutes and 30 seconds to get back because that's when commercials will be over.
Yeah.
By the way, if you can manage 2 minutes and 30 seconds from your seat to the bathroom and back, you deserve an award.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. At a stadium, you're a huge winner. So, I couldn't imagine trying to do that. That would be totally insane.
Even with an aisle seat, you know. So it's just, that's one of those things that, like you said, it's not easy dealing with the union, and it's, of course, not going to be easy dealing with the owners. You know, they obviously have to come to an agreement. But at what point do you not see this as a positive on both ends? You know, you've made the point a million times that this just gave 15 more jobs for National League teams, 15 more players. Extra players are on the team now. And for the owners, your investment in your pitching staff is, I would say, more secured. And I'm still waiting to see a two-way player. I really don't think we'll ever see it, despite the fact that Shohei's supposed to be that.
So, yeah, we'll see. Maybe he can do it this year, but it's not. You know, it's just difficult for me to buy it. Hopefully it works out, but I just don't see it. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. So, but you know, Dan, it's that time of year where everybody is getting to the point about, you know, predicting divisions, and, you know, we're going to, of course, do this ourselves all in due time. We have our own little sheet, but I found it interesting today that for whatever reason, and I'm kind of surprised by this, well, maybe I'm not because it is the East, there's a lot of talk about the AL East and what kind of division it's going to be, and I've got to tell you, Dan, I don't honestly believe that there's a team out there that, or especially in the AL East, that can compete with the Yankees. Do you see another team that I'm missing? I mean, are you buying the Blue Jays or the Rays or the Red Sox or the Orioles as legitimate contenders for the Yankees?
Not really. I mean, I think we're going to have some points in the summer where the Yankees might fall out of first place here and there. But I don't see them ever getting any more than five games under 500 out of first place, to be honest with you. You know, and that could just be a string of bad luck. But you know, how this game goes. You can have a go, you know, 7 for 30, and then all of a sudden go 25 and 5. So, you know, I think that's what might play out, and Tampa Bay, of all teams, might be one that's just hanging around up there a little bit longer than anyone expects. But I don't see a whole lot of competition. You know, I mean, just talking within that division, I still think it's the Yankees. Unfortunately for them, over the last 3-4 years, they could just hold down the AL completely.
So, yeah, and, you know, I mean, obviously the biggest question is, you know, can they stay healthy behind Gerrit Cole? You know, they took a chance on Corey Kluber. You know, so you got to see how that goes. You know, Jordan Montgomery is coming back from an injury. Domingo Germán is coming back from a suspension. But, you know, you also have to remember that they're going to get Luis Severino back at some point in time this season. And he is legitimately a top-of-the-rotation starter. So, you know, I mean, it's definitely, you know, going to be interesting to see how they, you know, how they end up putting their roster together. I know that Justin Wilson suffered injury, so it looked like, you know, he may miss the start of the regular season, but I don't think that's going to end up being a, you know, a huge deal. But, you know, injury seems to be the only thing holding the Yankees back from winning the East, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it hasn't really held them back before, so it's one of those strange situations for them.
Yeah. So, you know, and even the oddest part is, so far, Giancarlo Stanton has managed to stay healthy. So that's a huge shock.
Well, and I think that would be one of the biggest things for them, if he could stay healthy the whole season.
Yeah.
For, well, you know how they play 130 games. So.
But, yeah, so, you know, that was, yeah, you know, just kind of looking at it, you know, and obviously not to, to give away our picks, because I'm sure, you know, you and I will reveal them, you know, like next Tuesday or something, when we, the day before the season. But, yeah, it just,
well,
I find
mean,
it
I
very
think...
difficult when putting it together that you're not picking the Yankees to win the East.
Yeah, and I think the other one that's pretty obvious would be that the O's are in last.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone's picking them.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, there are. You know, what's weird is it may be easier to pick the last place teams in a lot of the divisions than the first place teams.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, with, but yeah, you know, I for whatever reason, you know, again, maybe it was just AL East day and they're breaking down the divisions as the season starts. Yeah, you know, I keep looking at that, and, you know, Tampa is always just such an odd team. I mean, you never think they're really going to compete, and then they do. You know, and even like today, you know, they brought Chris Archer back. He had a couple horrible years in Pittsburgh, and he's been really good for Tampa Bay this spring training.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And obviously,
speaking of
that,
that
doesn't mean anything.
I'll be
you know,
back
it doesn't mean anything.
Minutes.
But, you know, it's just weird on how these things kind of work out for the Rays. You know, they get guys that are, you know, I don't want to say cast-offs, but, you know, they pick up the guys that it just hasn't worked somewhere else. And, you know, the guy comes into Tampa and they do well. You know, and you wonder again, you know, how that's going to work out. You know, they have Chris Archer and Michael Walker, two guys who have really struggled due to injury the last few years, and you've got to wonder if they can work that, I don't know, you want to call it Tampa Bay Magic or Rays Magic or whatever with them. You know, and then we'll see how this experiment of 8 to 9 pitchers giving them 100 innings goes. You know, they have 3 different guys that they use at the end of games to close in Nick Anderson, Diego Castillo, and Pete Fairbanks. So who knows how that's going to work out. You know, we'll just, you know, have to kind of watch and see. But I think the only guys we know that are going to play full-time are what, Brandon Lau, Willie Adames, and Randy Arozarena. I mean, you'd like to think Kevin Kiermaier would play full-time, but, you know, you never know what their plans are with him now. You just got to kind of wait and see how they handle it. You know, in all honesty, I think the only mistakes, the mistake the Rays have made roster-wise is, you know, they went out and signed Japanese outfielder Yoshi Satsugo. You know, and obviously last year was just such a weird year. I guess you don't want to hold it against him, but he, you know, he kind of scuffled, and he, you know, he didn't really pitch in, help out, however you want to look at it. So we'll have to see if, you know, it goes a little better for him this year. And I was looking for his spring training numbers. Has he done much this spring training? Yeah, unfortunately, he's kind of scuffling this spring. He's only hitting .214. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean anything. It's spring training. So, you know, we'll see how it goes when the season kind of rolls around. And, you know, you do kind of wonder if there's always an adjustment period. And I got to be honest with you, I don't remember seeing him get a postseason at bat. You know, he did appear in 51 games for them last year, but he only hit .197. Let me check their postseason stats and see if he even if he appeared or did he – maybe, I mean, he appeared in 8 games. But he only hit .125. He only had 16 at-bats, to be fair, so I'm guessing he was either a late-inning guy or a pinch hitter, or maybe he got a full game here or there. But, yeah, he only hit .125, so he didn't have a great season for them. So, but, you know, other than that, like I said, they don't seem to make a ton of mistakes with their roster, and they find ways to compete, you know, with that limited payroll. And obviously they're, you know, they're a small market team. So, you know, we'll see, you know, and I guess the biggest question is when are we going to see Wander Franco? I mean, it seems like he's been the number one prospect for the last 5 years. Obviously I'm being sarcastic there, but to be fair, he's only 20. So, you know, they can afford if they want the, you know, to kind of wait with. He did appear in 12 games last year, 3 games the year before. So you wonder if maybe this is the year he gets the call up after a couple weeks, or how it works. But, you know, who knows? I they're just such an odd team. You know, and I know the Blue Jays were a lot of people's excitement as well. You know, their closing situation obviously throws a lot of that into flux on how they're going to do and where they're going to end up. But I still don't think even if Kirby Yates had stayed healthy, that they were challenging the Yankees. So I just kind of think it's the Yankees division to win, and everybody else is just going to fall in line behind them and play for a wild card spot.
Well, and, you know, how do I phrase this? Do you think the Cubs winning the World Series got way too many other people excited? And obviously, as a Cub fan, it was amazing, great to see, you know, and all that good stuff. But the effect that it's seemingly having on, well, not just the Cubs, but the Astros too, but that youth factor, you know, do you think that had – well, and I still feel like it's more so the Cubs, because the Cubs are technically a little bit younger than the Astros. Well, you know, and I'm not saying an age, but, you know, some of the guys that ended up winning the World Series with the Astros were part of that rebuild starting after 2013, or, you know, maybe that season and going forward. So do you think, like, the Cubs winning the World Series got way too many fans, not only fans, but media too excited about it as well, where the fact that the Padres have, like, this, you know, pretty much a team that would just say averages under, like, 25. Same thing with the Blue Jays, that they just think that these teams are just automatically destined in the next couple of years to win a World Series?
You know, in a way, yes. I really think the media becomes more responsible for this because, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you're watching, you're checking out the MLB Network because you want to see what they're saying. And then, you know, you see the Padres make all these moves. You see the Blue Jays make these moves, you know, where they land these big-time free agents. And all of a sudden, immediately, you know, you start picking them to win. I mean, we've seen it. How many people are picking the Padres to beat the Dodgers? You know,
everybody.
I know the Padres make some really good additions. You know, I mean, I like the deals for, you know, Yu Darvish and Blake Snell, and why am I drawing a blank on the Pirates pitcher they acquired? But, you know, I mean, I like all those moves they made. They did a really nice job. So, you know, they'll be a much improved team, but better than the Dodgers, who got the best starting pitcher on the free agent market, to add to a rotation that was already lights out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of stretching there.
Well, it's so much so that there's a consideration for a former, did David Price win a Cy Young? But regardless, a guy of his caliber that they're thinking about putting to the bullpen. And that's how good their rotation is.
So, you know, they get a little carried away when teams make these moves and they, you know, they go crazy with it. And obviously that gets the fans worked up. You know, you start looking at teams and you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to win. And, you know, and I mean, it happens in every sport, in every town. I mean, there were people in Chicago buying the Bears pipe last year, not really realizing that their schedule was so easy that they were beating bad teams. And while they did make the playoffs, everybody knew they were a non-contender to go to the Super Bowl. You know, they weren't beating anybody. They were beating eight. So, you know, it happens all the time. You know, it's like, oh, my God, look, you know, they picked up so-and-so. Oh, they're going to win it all. Well, it takes more than just a couple moves, you know.
Yeah. Well, do we even get started on the Bears thing? I mean, because they're like, what makes the fans happy? Well, let's go get one of the biggest defensive guys so we can try to relive that nostalgia of 1985, which if I'm still hearing that in 10 years, dude, it's pretty like, I'm just going to start slapping guys. But
you know, and you know, the sad part is what I actually worry about, Dan, is 2016 is going to turn into the Cubs what 1985 has turned into to the Bears.
Oh yeah.
You know, with the way the team is going. So.
Well, no, and it just to me it just seems like the White Sox did the best thing they can do for themselves in putting Rick Hahn in, and the fact that they're literally the only team in Chicago that isn't following the same formula that they've done before, where they just kind of put stuff together to make the fans happy and excited, and then you just cash in at the end of the day. Right? I think Rick Hahn is really trying to build a team to win a World Series as opposed to a team that's just going to, I don't know, draw for a season.
Well, you know, and Kenny Williams tried to win. You know, he made the moves that looked like we're going to help the team win. But for whatever reason, they just never turned out. Remember that off season where they, you know, they won the off season.
Yeah.
And none of those moves worked out for the Sox for whatever reason. It just didn't work.
They all should have.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, they were all moves that every team was going to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or wanted to make. So, you know, I just don't know why they didn't work for the White Sox. So,
well, I mean, Smarja just kind of tumbled down, and I think, you know,
yeah,
like kind of going there and forward. So that, you know, obviously wasn't them. You know, and it's funny because at that time, when they paid Melky $12 million a year to go hang out in the outfield for 3 years, you know, it was like so much money. But now, that's like if they were to sign him, you know, sign a guy of his caliber at this time for $12 million a year, no one would blink an eye.
Yeah. Well, you know, oddly, he was the only guy out of all the free agent signings they made that offseason that actually produced.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, just kind of goofy that for, you know, for whatever reason, you know, Samardzija didn't work. And, you know, there were a couple other guys that it just didn't work. So, you know, and that happens. I mean, obviously the White Sox aren't the only team it's happened to. I mean, we see free agent signings every year that are supposed to make a team that just doesn't. So.
Yeah. Nature of the beast.
So, but yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to, you know, it's always interesting to see how, you know, how the things kind of play out and, you know, where and how teams try to build their organizations. But yeah, I mean, to get as over the top as a lot of the media guys do when they report on these things, and especially Brian Kenny. I mean, when you get a top war guy signed somewhere, he acts like that team is going to the World Series just based on that one signing. And it's like, wait, really? He's one guy. You know, one guy can't win in baseball. It's not, you know, it's not basketball. Sorry. And even there, you need three now. So, I, you know, just one of those fun, you know, fun things that you get to deal with. So, but yeah, have you even looked at the opening day schedule? I didn't bother to look to see who's where or what's on or how they're doing it yet. You know, especially with your new television setup, are you going to be able to see games? Kill Dan? There's only about 5 minutes, six minutes left in the podcast. There he is. Okay.
No, I knocked my headset off.
I hate when that happens. So yeah, like I said, have you checked out the opening day schedule yet, and who's on where, and then, you know, are you going to be able to watch?
I should be. I mean, I guess it depends on what day the baby's born, right?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I was just wondering with your new TV setup, if you were going to be able to get out and watch games. So, but yeah, and now does it seem weird that they're starting on Thursday, or is that just me? Did they always start on Thursday? All right, we seem to be Dan.
Sorry.
Why are we killing you, Dan?
What? It keeps going in and out. I'm in a bad...
I think it seems weird that we're starting on Thursday. For whatever reason, I thought it would make more sense for them to start on Friday.
Yeah, but they always get that weird day off in between, so I'm assuming they want good games on Tuesday. I didn't understand that. you know, I mean, because even that, it's not an ESPN night. So who takes on the national games?
Yeah, just kind of, it was kind of weird when I was looking at it. I know, like, opening day, the Mickey Mouse Network has four games. And then there's a much more limited schedule the next day. You know, like, I believe everybody plays on Thursday. But then on Friday, it's, you know, it's the shorter, you know, schedule coming back. I think there are only, now I got to look again because I clicked off it, and we got to see if my computer will catch up here. Yeah, Friday there are 6 games. So, I mean, you would think you would want a full slate on Friday when you would think more fans would watch, wouldn't you?
That's what I would think. But, you know, we're getting into that time where it's getting nice out, so maybe they figure you'll be hanging out on Thursday. You know, with that said, I might just have to take off Thursday.
Yeah, and I actually took my vacation the week after, so I can watch baseball the what is technically the first full week of the season. So
yeah, I mean, that's a good spot to be in, right?
Yeah.
First full week.
You know, I didn't want to get caught, you know, with just having Thursday and Friday to watch games. So, but yeah, it just seemed weird. But I know baseball does that a lot with things, and you know, maybe since they work with, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network, they just said, hey, we want to open on Thursday and let's go that route. So they did.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, television obviously sways a lot of what, you know, they do. You know, I mean, we've seen it with, you know, the NBA, and, you know, I'm sure we're going to see it with the NHL now that they've signed back with the Mickey Mouse Network, you know, how they'll end up working things. But it's, you know, it you know, makes it fun. I mean, at least they're offering a lot of games, which is nice for a, you know, viewer. I mean, I'll probably be able to watch three of those opening day games just on the Mickey Mouse Network. You know, the last one is a late game, so I'll be in bed before that because I'll have to work Friday.
Yeah. But, you know, I've also got to get my stuff in to get the MLB.tv set up. But, you know, you did mention the NHL with ESPN, and, I mean, you're supposed to be the sports network, so it's about freaking time you added hockey on, because it, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to be well-rounded and you want to get subscribers to your app and all that, you know, ESPN Plus, you know, that was kind of missing, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, they had been showing games on the app. So, you know, fans, you know, if they were interested, they would have had to sign up to, you know, pay for the app or whatever. But, yeah, it just makes so much more sense with, you know, the NBC Sports Network going away that, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network gets funky so they can put it on. You know, because I know not everybody can follow the NBC Sports Network. But I guess something we may have to look at a little bit.
Sports Time Radio.